Hey everyone, it's Harmon, and you've tuned in to another episode of Comedy History 101. Today, this day, right now, we have a special Comedy History 101 select. Yes, it's from our early GarageBand days, back when I didn't have a good microphone. Let's be honest. It's the history of the straight man in comedy. Yes, for every Abbott, there's a Costello. Or is it every Costello, there's an Abbott? But before we jump into the episode, take some time to like, subscribe, comment on iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher or wherever you get Comedy History 101, or even on our site, Comedy History 101. It kind of helps us out. And without further ado,
you're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
You're driving along, and all of a sudden the kids are yelling from the backseat, "I gotta go to the bathroom, Daddy! Not now, damn it! Truck tire! I can't stop! Help! There's a cliff! And your family's screaming, "Oh my God, we're burning alive! No, I can't feel my legs!"
So in that Tommy Boy clip, who do you think is the comedy straight man?
Well, the straight man, obviously, in that one is David Spade.
I know it's like a comedy duo, and there's a comedy straight man in it, but I was almost would say the guy they're pitching the product to is the straight man of that scene.
He's external, though. He's external to their... Ah. Yeah, that's what I would say, yeah. To their relationship.
Anyway, so what do you think makes that scene? Like, where's like the balance? You got over the top Chris Farley, and do you think that scene would work if it was just Chris Farley and the guy he was pitching to?
Maybe. I don't think it would be as funny, because I think you're getting a lot of stuff out of watching David Spade, especially at the end. I forgot about the part of the end where he's trying to blow out the model. He's trying to blow out the fire, so that's pretty good.
By the way, welcome everyone to our podcast. As y'all know, this is the podcast
Comedy History 101,
where we discuss the history of comedy. I am Harmon Leon, and with me, as always, is
Scott Colonico. I am not a robot. I have transformed from a robot.
Are you sure you're not an AI?
Oh, I could be. Yeah, I could be like a Google.
Yeah, dude. If you were an AI, you wouldn't know you're an AI.
No, I wouldn't. I would like. I'd be on.
Just like the Blade Runners didn't know they're replicants. Anyways, which brings us to our topic today is the history of the comedy straight man. Now, when you think of a comedy straight man, what do you think is the value of, in comedy double acts and comedy teams, even comedy groups? What do you think is the value of having the comedy straight man in like a comedy team?
All right, you're asking me. This is a question you're posing to me.
I don't see anyone else here.
Okay,
I'm
all right.
To you.
Well,
we're being
like a
comedy team. You're being the straight man to my comedy guy. Am I the straight man to your comedy guy? Because one of the definitions of a comedy straight man is he's sort of the voice of reason, and he responds in a range of outrage or patience or frustration, but never laughter, in order to make his partner look all the more ridiculous by being completely serious.
Right, it's almost Wikipedia or something.
No, I read it out of the Google Doc that's right before me.
No, I'll read it. Okay, well, that's what I would say to answer your question then. Really, the straight guy kind of serves as a proxy for the audience, where he's like, you know, keeping everything grounded. And, you know, he's gonna be asking the questions the audience would be asking of the wacky dude.
Yeah. So I think the straight man's, you know, obviously his role is to ground the wacky guy. He's kind of like us, or not us, but like he's like the everyman.
Right.
It's kind of like a yin yang balance of the class. I mean, the classic, like, you go straight guy, wacky guy is like, I would think, you know, what comes to mind to me like automatically is Abbott and Costello.
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who is on first?
Have you got a first baseman on first?
Certainly.
Then who's playing first?
Absolutely. So you got like short, pudgy guy, and you got kind of just sort of average-looking guy who never really goes for the laugh. But you kind of need both because I think it would just be really tiresome to watch Costello for like right. 2 hours
or
on
just,
his own.
Or if you just watched Abbott for like a while, that'd be pretty boring.
Well, that's not, yeah. Because it's kind of like a comedy dance where the straight guy is like, back in old timey days, there were several words, terms for the straight man in a comedy deal. You'd be called either the straight man, the feed, the deadwood, or the stooge. And he portrayed, you know, the reasonable, serious side to the otherwise funny man, who in turn was, you know, as perceived as like less educated or intelligent or silly or unorthodox. So, so primary, he's like the character, that kind of balances out, and he kind of feeds the other part of the team, kind of like setting him up for the jokes.
Right.
Dude, see, you're the straight guy.
Yeah, I was being the straight guy.
I thought I was the straight guy.
Oh, we've entered into the nightmare scenario.
So suddenly I'm just like, I was like really silly and unorthodox. And then you fed it into with like a deadpan, right?
Yeah, that's like, you know,
and grounded it. You grounded my Wikipedia summary of what a comedy straight man is.
We've got too many Costellos, no, too many Abbotts right now.
Well, that goes into another play of something we've discussed in the past: is do comedy teams need a straight man, or can they both be two funny guys?
Well, they're both kind of funny in their own way. You know, the straight guy is going to be funny in a different... I mean, I think a good example of that would be Cheech and Chong, where I would say my argument with Cheech and Chong would be that Cheech is like the straight man, because he's like the one that always has like the plans and everything. He's always trying to be
right.
like, down to earth about stuff, where Chong's like kind of the stoned out, you know, spacey dude.
Hey, you ain't a chick!
Yeah, I know, but listen, that's the only way I can get anybody to stop, man.
Hey, that's false advertising, Dad, man.
Yeah, I know, but listen, I slept in a ditch last night, man. I almost froze my balls off, man.
I didn't even think you had any, man. I wouldn't even have stopped.
Yeah, but that's like a good example, because both of them obviously are unorthodox. So, you know, compared to, like, if you look at their movies, like, they're unorthodox to, like, the world around them. You know,
Right. They're
not like on planet Cheech and Chong. They're always kind of like
your
classic fish out of water sort of characters.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going on the comedy definition of what is a straight man, you're like, Cheech seems like he's a little bit smarter to Chong.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He's got more. And so the straight guy is always the one who's like coming up with plans and stuff. You know, they're always like, you know, it's like, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to get out of here. You know, he's the guy that's going to, like, get things done. He's like the action man.
How much do you know about, like, the history of the straight man in comedy?
Probably not as much as you're going to tell me about.
Dude, I would almost say now I'm being the straight man.
Right.
So because I'm more educated... I mean, just going by definition, more educated on what the straight man is.
Right. I mean, so
your unorthodox, silly approach.
Yeah, that was just ridiculous. Let's just both be straight men for a second. Just like 1 second.
Yeah, okay.
I would say the history of the straight man. We're talking about all the way back to American vaudeville and British music hall kind of comedies, where you've got the, you know, these performers, you know, coming on stage and doing their bits live in front of live audiences, you know, and that's where, you know, their jokes had to be very, as you said, acrobatic. They had to be, you know, it was a dance, and like you had to have, you know, lines were said in a certain order because you didn't want to step over the laugh. You know, you had to leave that room there for the audience to you know, hear the punchline. And then give them room enough to laugh.
Yeah, and an interesting thing that played outside of like I mean, again, if you look at, like, Abbott and Costello in the movies, is like, so the funny guy would say a line, and then the straight guy would respond to the line by repeating the line, because usually back in, like, your vaudeville days or British music hall days, the audiences were very loud and rowdy. So if the straight guy didn't repeat the line, you know, the joke would be lost because they wouldn't hear the setup. Right. So, like, an example I heard, you know, that's why you always get, like, so I went to the races last week. And then, like, you know, ABBA would go, so what you're trying to tell me is you went to the races last week. How was it? You know, that kind of banter like right. that, where it seems like, you know, it's like it's already, like, almost sort of parody mm-hmm. when you see it now or hear it now. But it was, like, it was kind of interesting to find out that was, like, how that was the origin of how that banter sort of started. It was just basically kind of a crowd technique so they wouldn't miss the punchline.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's always – it's always a weird thing, is it's like people will just kind of forget about that, kind of where it was like you were doing a play, but it was kind of live mm-hmm. a little bit. You know, there was the performers would have a little bit of room to play around, you know, with the timing and stuff. But yeah, like you were saying, it's that whole the warm up where the crowd's kind of getting settled down and getting into the joke, and then you can do the jokes, you know, and the punchline and what have you.
Yeah. And the typical banner, like back in old-timey British music hall or vaudeville days, it was called crosstalk, which was just like a clever verbal exchange, you know, kind of that really fast, like who's on first type right. banner. But other than who's on first, if it wasn't Abbott and Costello.
Yeah. So let's step away from the Wikipedia. And go into who's some of your favorite straight men or comedy teams with the straight men.
Well, I would say obviously like Laurel and Hardy, right. and then going up to like sort of more recent times like the Mighty Boosh, like Julian Barrett, like he always like grounded Noel.
Hi, welcome to the show. My name's Howard Moon. This is my apprentice Vince Noir.
Apprentice. Get stuffed, you're my apprentice.
Don't start showing out.
Or what?
Or I'll come at you fast like a northern bullet. I'll put a move on you, you won't know what's happening.
You haven't got any moves. I've felt your moves. How flimsy are they? They're like being caressed with a natural yogurt.
I've got new powerful moves now, thanks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What, did you send off for some new ones?
Yes, I did. They arrived this morning.
First post?
First post, yeah. The post that hurts the most.
But even with his seriousness, I found him, like, equally funny. As Noel on the Mighty Boosh,
right? Yeah, they you know that was like the modern take on it, the modern sub modern take on it, where you know you've got the glam rock dude, and then like the straight you know pork pie hat wearing guy.
Yeah, and it's really funny because Noel had a TV show after Mighty Boosh, and where he was just glam rock guy surrounded by like other glam rock guys, uh-huh. and it just didn't feel grounded. You kind of needed right. Julian in there to kind of ground the whole thing. It just felt like, all right, this is just very surreal.
Yeah, I mean,
but it was just like you kind of need that, you know, yin yang balance to ground it. How about you? Who are some of your favorites?
I don't know. We'll just talk about like for some one day I got sucked into a YouTube time warp hole and I started watching. Some old clips of the Hudson Brothers. Have you heard of these guys?
Kate Hudson's father.
Yeah, Kate Hudson's dad. So he was. They were.
What did they do?
So they were like a group. They were like comedy and music, but they were like three as opposed to like two guys. But I think this fits into the. The model here, and the Bill Hudson was her dad, and he was the kind of straight man, or he was the wacky guy of that group. And then you had the straight man, which was the older brother, which was Mark, I think. And you kind of had the same thing, where you had this like kind of the one wacky guy, and then the two other brothers were like, oh, we're all normal and everything, but done in the 70s and really weird.
Yeah, but what would be an example of their bit or
something? Oh, you just gotta watch the beginning of the show. It's so fucking, it's just so 1970s weird. There's like a gorilla that runs out of a car and everything. It's just, and it was called the it was the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle Show.
Oh my.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you get a group where everyone's funny, so it's hard to determine which one is the straight man. And a good example of that is the Marx Brothers.
Right.
Like, who would you think, other than the movies with Zeppo, who, of course, is the straight man, but he wasn't in all the movies, who would you say is the straight man out of the Marx Brothers? Who would be the voice of reason?
That one's kind of tough, because I want to go with Groucho, but then I also think Chico. Well, it's like when they would peel off, you know, and for some reason Chico and Harpo always wound up together. And in that case, it was definitely, you know, Chico who was the straight man.
Yeah, it's so funny. Did you see that clip I sent? It was Groucho on the Dick Cavett Show.
Right, yeah,
He was with like Dan Rowan of Rowan and Martin.
Right.
And Groucho was saying that Chico was the straight man of the group.
I want to tell you something. There has never been a good comedian that didn't have a good straight man.
Oh,
you go down
man.
Through the ages of all the great comedians, they always had a great straight man. In my case, it happened to be Chico, because he was my brother.
Yeah.
But he did what a normal guy, if it hadn't been my brother, would have been doing for me.
Because Chico's the one that's always, like, telling people they're acting silly or he's kind of, you know, he's straightened up over there, you know, or stuff like that. And always telling everybody to be quiet and everything.
But, and then again, though, he's talking with this, like, really bad fake Italian accent.
I know.
So it's hard to determine that. I mean, I guess it's just like when you put the bar down to where everyone is silly, there's still one person out of the group that is the straight man. And, you know, and according to Groucho, that was Chico.
Who are you? Hey, can't you say? Can't you say anything?
No, he not say nothing at
all. Oh, shut up.
I am a shut up, but mister, you no understand. Look, he's a spy and I'm a spy. He work for me. I want him to find out something, but he no find out what I want to find out. Now, how am I going to find out what I want to find out if he no find out what I got to find out?
Will you quit annoying me?
All right, I quit. All you got to do is make him stop doing this.
I don't know why this popped into my head. I wanted to bring it up. We're kind of freeballing it here. I'm kind of one of the guys, I kind of think...
So what you're saying is we're doing crack cocaine?
No. It's free basing.
Oh, that's free basing.
Was that your thing? Were you being the I was being the... No, Harmon, we're not doing cocaine.
Okay, and you just brought up a good straight man, funny guy, comedy team point. Is one of the techniques of a comedy team is arguing between the monks, the two of them,
right,
was always a common element. That's always a common element of straight man versus funny guy in a comedy double act.
Right, yeah. No.
Like no matter what these characters do, they just can't seem to get along.
Why I oughta. Slowly I turned.
Niagara
Falls.
Yeah, how many times do I have to tell you, don't touch that?
Stay away from that priceless big vase, Harmon.
So one of the first like comedy double acts, again, and this one is another hard call, was Laurel and Hardy, which gained worldwide fame in 1927. And do you know the name of their film, their very first film?
No.
Ironically, it was called Duck Soup, which in 1933 became a title of a Marx Brothers movie.
Right, but if two films are using the duck soup, I wonder if that I'm looking it up right now. I wonder if that means something or it meant something back in the old timey days. You know, I wonder if it was like a phrase from the old days or
like your grandfather's mustache.
Yeah. Yeah, or
why is he sillier than a bowl of duck soup?
Or
things are crazier than a poached egg.
Yeah, that's not very crazy. Although they're crazy in how you get them, have to make them, I guess. But
poached egg.
Yeah.
I think it just sounds funny because it has like a p pea, like a big poached egg, you know? You can pop it out.
Okay, well, all right, we'll go with that, dude. Right.
Which one of Laurel and Hardy do you think is the straight man?
Oh, that was Hardy, of course.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, you know, because he was always like, he was like, you know, another fine mess. See, he's like, he's redirecting his anger.
Well, I'd marry it.
You would.
Well, after all, beauty's only skin deep. I'd take some of the money and I'd have a face lifted. Then I could settle down and I wouldn't have to scrape chins anymore. Wouldn't have to work hard anymore.
Tell me that again.
Huh?
Let me hear that again.
Well, if beauty was only skin deep, I could take some of the money and I could have her skinned and then she'd be able to look at a clock without having to work hard anymore. Then we could settle down and I could scrape her chin and congenial if I didn't have to work hard anymore.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and they, again, going back on kind of like the stock structure of a double act is they always, they seem like they don't get along, but you know that they're best friends.
Yeah, exactly. Or as I say, or thrown together into a predicament in which they have to kind of become friends. But then that's kind of like depending on the movie. Or the
play, and that goes into that goes into like your Lethal Weapon, like Danny Glover, Mel Gibson, you know. Even that, which isn't a comedy. Or is it a comedy, Lethal Weapon?
I think that was kind of the deal. It was like an action comedy where you had, you know, I'm too old for this.
Yeah. We're not too old for this shit. We're not too old for this shit.
And again, it's like Mel Gibson's the funny guy to your Danny Glover, straight man.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, that's pretty classic. And then that even actually references the Three Stooges a lot. You know, remember that?
Yeah, because racist Mel Gibson. He says racist Mel Gibson to me now.
Yeah, he'll always be racist Mel Gibson.
Here's an interesting tidbit that if traditionally, if you're not sure who the straight man is in a comedy act, traditionally the straight man gets top billing on the bill, like in old timey days, like Abbott and Costello, Martin Lewis. Burns and who's George Burns and Burns and Allen?
Burns and Allen, yeah.
Yeah, so normally the comedy straight man would be get the top billing and usually receive 60% more pay, and this was to take the sting out of not being the one who gets the most laughs.
Oh wow, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, right. So I guess like, and even in, like. I mean, it doesn't apply, like, Laurel and Hardy, that doesn't apply, but...
Right.
But if you go to, like, even, like, modern days, Cheech and Chong, that applies.
Okay,
Cheech is a straight man, and Martin Lewis, other people.
No, there's, like, Hope and Crosby.
Yeah, Hope and Crosby,
well,
exactly.
They would say Crosby, they weren't there. That's an example of... That was like a straight man, funny guy who never did the act live, but they were famous from their movies. So they would do where Bing Crosby would play the straight guy, and then Bob Hope is the troublemaker.
Chester, who are you? Who am I? Yeah, you seem like a nice, pleasant fellow, friendly and saggy and a little overdressed. Chester, I'm your partner, Harry Turner.
Harry?
Yeah, Harry Turner, your pal.
Pal?
Chester, for 20 years we've been bosom friends.
Bosom? What's that?
Oh, you have lost your memory, haven't you?
Yeah, and exactly. And there's another subgenre of comedy straight man was the comedy straight man would also sing.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, which even goes to, like, I Love Lucy. So Lucy would be the funny one, and Ricky would be the straight man, and he would do songs.
Yeah, the songs. You had Dean Martin doing all your songs.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the boring part. They had to put that in.
So before I went off on the Laurel and Hardy tangent, you were about to jump in with something.
Yeah, I was going to say, now it's going to be kind of hard to compare this to Laurel and Hardy. I'm just going to say.
Magic of editing. Dropping a clip.
It's going to be a little bit, I think it's an overlooked gem of a classic. And I would say you've got, and Dude, Where's My Car? You've got a pretty good straight man. You've got a weird, it's a weird setup because it's along that Cheech and Chong thing. It is kind of like a stoner comedy too. And you've got
solid stoner comedy.
Yeah, and you've got these two guys.
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, you got Ashton Kutcher and then Sean Williams.
The guy from American Pie.
Yeah, yeah, and as Jesse and Chester.
Dude, what does mine say? Sweet! What about mine? Dude, what does mine say? Sweet! What about mine? Dude, what does mine say? Sweet!
And those guys are, and you actually, I would say Chester, Sean William Scott, was the straight man, kind of, in that, of that pairing. And it was just interesting, because it's just like, I know a lot of people, it's kind of a dumb title, but if you watch it, I don't know, I think it's pretty funny. And they do a pretty good job together as a comedy duo.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it like a while back, but it's not, you know, it's entertaining. It's like, good, I'm laying on the couch, this comes on TV, I'll watch it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got some good lines in there. There's some funny things, you know, and it's got the crazy, wacky, you know, alien plot and all that stuff. You know, it's the kind of stuff that you want in a comedy straight man team, you know, comedy movie.
Yeah, great title for the movie too.
I know, yeah. I know.
Yeah. Oh, here's a stumper. Who would be the comedy straight man in the movie Dumb and Dumber?
My parakeet Petey.
Yeah?
He's dead.
Oh man, I'm sorry, Harry. What happened?
His head fell off.
His head fell off?
Yeah, he was pretty old.
Oh! That's it. I've had it with this dump! We got no food, we got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Okay. So yeah, so you've got Jim as Lloyd and Jeff Daniels as Harry. So they're, oh my god, actually it even says it here in the Wikipedia page.
It says
it right here. though dim-witted, Harry is slightly more intelligent than Lloyd, and can be said to be the dumb of the title. So Lloyd's dumber.
So
Jeff Daniels would be the straight man.
He's the voice of reason.
Yeah, and he is kind of when you look into that, because he's always the one. He's the one that's coming up with the plan. He's the one that's saying this is what we got to do. You know, he's always very level headed. Yeah. Whereas you know, Lloyd Christmas is always crazy, running around bringing the money back and everything. So it kind of holds up. The formula holds up.
Yeah, yeah, it's like Cheech and Chong, you know. They're in their own universe, but yet within their own universe, those rules still apply.
Exactly.
Of the comedy straight man.
Good, you gotta have rules, man.
Just veering off a little bit, so I was watching the making of Animal House last night, and this is an interesting tidbit of when the straight man isn't necessarily a character in the movie, though there are some straight men in Animal House. But when John Landis was making Animal House, he was friends with the composer Elmer Bernstein, who did The Magnificent Seven.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Like, he was like a family friend. And he went to him and went, can you compose the music for Animal House? And he's like, and then he watched it. He's like, do you really want me to, you know, to compose this? I'm the guy who made the, you know, composed The Magnificent Seven. He's like, I want you to compose it like you're doing a serious movie. So if you listen to the movie which makes it like it was all wacky music. It would like take it, but it's like the music is very like symphony and like very straight lines forward. And, yeah. and the music is like, you know, just another key element why that movie is like one of the best comedies of all time.
Yeah, very collegiate, very above board music.
Well, it was, yeah, just very, you know, they were playing the music straight, and again, that offset the situation comedy. So, like, the music was the comedy straight man to the situations.
Right. Exactly.
Oh. So it was like a ingenious on John Landis's part to like go that direction with it. So so again, it's like sometimes you know, the straight man isn't necessarily a character.
Well, I think on that note, we were kind of both talking about this earlier. There was a comedian from the 60s that we're both kind of fans of who was basically a straight man to himself.
Oh, hello, Willard. Willard, you're supposed to call in every hour, you know. You found a shell on the beach. You think that's unusual, do you, Willard, finding a shell on the beach? It isn't that kind of shell. What's the matter? Doesn't it sound like the ocean when you hold it up to your ear, Willard? that kind of shell. It's probably a dud of some kind, Willard. I'll send some men out and they... Oh, is that right? Gee, I was sort of hoping that was your watch making that noise, Willard.
Ah, yes, indeed. I think you're talking about one such Bob Newhart.
That's right. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Bob Newhart?
So Bob Newhart came to fame as a stand-up comedian, and it's crazy. Like if you read about like the history of, like he I think he was like an accountant.
Yeah, he was.
And then he started doing comedy, and I think like on his third show, he recorded the set, and that like became like a, you know, best selling album.
Yeah, he recorded that in Houston.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he rented out a club.
Yeah, so he would do these routines where he would talk on the phone, and again in the 70s he had a TV show, the Bob Newhart Show, and again he was the straight man on that show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, so he was like, I think, was he a psychiatrist?
Yeah, he was a psychiatrist.
Yeah, and he had like all these like wacky clients, and mm-hmm. he was sort of the grounding aspect of it. But he started like doing his routines where he's talking on a telephone and you don't hear like who's on the other end, and he's just like reacting and repeating what they're saying. So in a sense, he was his own straight man. And would you say he's also his own funny man?
I think he's both. He's like everything wrapped up into one.
Yeah, which is interesting. And in the tie-in, something I was telling you earlier, I was listening to this WTF with Shelley Berman, and who's, you know, he was sort of in the Mort Saul, Lenny Bruce sort of days of comedy, kind of a bitter old man now.
Okay. Right.
You might say if you listen to the podcast, but I think around in the early 60s, his first breakout routine was he did this bit where he was on the phone calling a department store.
Here's the thing. See, you don't know me, miss. I work in the office building right across the street from your store. The Southwest. And I was just looking out of my window here, and I noticed there is a woman hanging from a window ledge on your building about 10 flights up, you see. And I no, operator, you're missing the point. I don't wish to speak to the woman. No, I don't.
And he said that Bob Newhart stole talking on a telephone on a one-sided conversation. But he stole
really? Oh, man.
Yeah, just... but then again, it was like Lily Tomlin did that as well. So was she stealing from Bob Newhart, or is it from the evolution of comedy that you take from the people that influence you?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Interesting.
So it's kind of like if he thinks that, you know, Bob Newhart was stealing from him, then you could A equals B equals C say that Lily Tomlin then was stealing from Bob Newhart, or was she just influenced by him, and vice versa. I guess you're really good modern comedy straight man or woman. So let's not make this all about dudes in comedy. lately. I think Broad City does a great job.
I'm becoming a corporate yes man. I'm like, yes, Mr. George Bush. Whatever you say, Mr. George Bush.
What?
I know, Dick Cheney. Go easy on me, dude. Before I know it, I'm gonna wake up and be 23. And my life's gonna be behind me.
You know that I'm 25, right?
So. Abby, you are ageless. That's a different thing.
Okay.
Again, that's a good chemistry.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Broad City in question, but I'll go with your opinion on that.
And Key and Peele?
Yes, no.
I haven't watched Key and Peele. So would Key be the comedy straight man?
Yeah, he's like the straight guy. Yeah, definitely.
What up? What up? It's my favorite class. What up, dude?
Nah, dog. Listen, hey, man, I ain't trying to talk to no puppet, man.
It's not a puppet. It's little homie. And I would like for you to talk to him, Clive. See, I used to work in the juvenile correction systems, and I found this method very effective.
I ain't no juvenile, man, okay?
He's right. Does he look like a kid to you? Come on. He's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, he was on Mad TV for a while, wasn't he? I think he was on Mad TV for a couple of years.
Yeah, and Peele's now a big director with, was it Get Out, that movie?
Yeah, that was all right. It's interesting.
And so I would even think even farther back that the comedy straight man goes back to even, say, to Commedia dell'arte, which was an Italian theater form in the 16th and 18th century that had stock characters. So there was always kind of like the wacky one who wore like a cat-like mask and would carry around like a wooden sword, and there was always the handsome one who wore no mask because he was handsome and would perform speeches of love.
Arlecchino, the acrobat. And
so he would be the funny one of it would be like an ensemble group that would have like maybe six sort of regular stock characters. So and that would be the funny one. And what how do you pronounce
L'Amorato, I think. So it looks like.
Yeah.
The lover.
There you go.
Yeah, he was like the ladies man, the lady killer.
Yeah. And even then they understood the kind of like balance in a comedy team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Especially you've gotta have a little bit of both. You don't want to have the crazy guy walking around with a bat on the stage all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess, again, and we've talked about this in the past, the Three Stooges.
Right, okay.
Again, I was listening to a W2F, and Brent Weinbach was on, and he was making the case that Larry was the straight man of the Three Stooges.
Ah, okay.
Come on, take a bath.
Wait a minute. It ain't spring yet.
Oh, yes, it is. See the grass?
Where? You're crazy. That's a bath mat.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, help! Turn on the lights! I can't see anything. It's dark in here. Fellas, help me! I'm blind!
I'll help you.
But then again, you think about it, and going on the theory of comedy straight man, wouldn't Mo be the one like considered like the smart one?
I would say that Mo would be, because there's a lot of times where like Larry and Curly would go off on their own, you know, and in that case, mm-hmm. Larry would be the straight man because he'd always be kind of bossing Curly around. You know, but
right.
Mo was there. Mo was definitely going to be the straight man.
So it's kind of, so maybe being that there's three, that there was Larry was always just kind of in the middle.
Yeah, Larry was like a substitute. He's like substitute Mo.
Ah, he was like Mo Light.
Yeah, he's like Mo. It's like if Mo wasn't available for a role, then Larry could step up and fill that role.
So how would Curly Joe play into it?
I don't know.
Or Shemp.
Oh my God! Don't get me started on Shemp.
What? You strong opinions on Shemp?
Yeah, I'm anti Shemp. Even though there's a lot of people who are Shemp fans, I'm just not. I'm not there.
Who's a Shemp fan?
There are people who are Shemp fans. Believe me, dude. Because he's actually, I think the deal was that he was one of the original Stooges, and then he dropped out, and then he came back.
And who was the producer? Was it Ted Max?
Yeah, that's like
Three Stooges.
Yeah, it's Ted Max and Three Stooges. Yeah, something like that.
So I was watching this documentary, or like researching another one of our podcasts, and the Three Stooges left Ted Max, and so Ted Max tried to create a pale imitation Three Stooges called something else, and they sort of looked like the Three Stooges. I mean, do you know who they are? No. It didn't stand the test of time. It just looked like a really pale imitation of, like, trying too hard to, like, no, really, they're the Three Stooges. They're just called something else.
Yeah, I know. This is like, oh, my God, okay.
Yeah, so I think we pretty well covered it. Why don't we, like, we wrap up and just sort of maybe just go briefly more through some of the classic, you know, funny man, straight man teams of all time. Like, okay. I mean, we could go, I mean, there's like so many. I mean, you could go Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder. You could go, you know, even like, you know, Woody Allen and in Annie Hall. What the fuck's her name?
Diane Keaton, yeah.
Yeah, and then even, again, going, you know, slightly more contemporary, you could go like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost from like Shaun of the Dead. And
yeah, I was going to say, while you're over here on this side of the pond, there's Mitchell and Webb.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Fucking peep show. You know, it's like, God, it's like, yeah. I mean, that's classic.
And that is that's classic straight man, wacky guy. You know, it's not going to get much more, you know, run by the book than that, you know, because that guy is definitely very uptight.
Yeah, and again, separately, you wouldn't really want to watch them. Like, it would just get kind of boring either way if you went either way. But together, it's just like, you know, I guess it's just like that chemistry, you know. And again, even going more contemporary, like, I was always like, and still am, of like an Arrested Development, Jason Bateman.
Hope you know a good place to live because I... Ooh, dear Lord. Because I'm looking
Don't
to make a new
handle.
Start. Oh, mother of God, dear.
Every character there is wacky except like Jason Bateman, but you'd almost think who's the comedy straight man of the show, but like he's almost like the funniest one of the show because he's reacting. Like, again, here's another definition of comedy straight man is to react to the craziness around him.
Yeah,
he's
actually almost kind of turned that into a career now. That's pretty much all he does.
Comedy straight man?
Yeah, he just kind of just plays the straight man to everybody's wacky people in their movies.
Well, it's not really being like the straight man. It's just really you're just acting and reacting to what's around you. And what's around you is, you know, like wackiness.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's not like, you know, acting, you know, as a crazy character. And again, you're like the voice of reason that grounds the wackiness that surrounds you. But anyways, I always just think, you know, interesting dynamic. And I've always thought, like, you know, the comedy straight guy is, I don't know if he's underrated or I've always sort of been a fan of, but like the comedy straight guy in a team, like that kind of their role of the interplay, because their interplay is to set up the comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just always the, you know, the guy who always telling everybody to calm down a little bit. You know, that's always pretty good.
But anyways, I think that just about does it for the history of comedy straight man here on Comedy History 101. If you like our podcast, please subscribe on iTunes. If you like the episode, be sure to, you know, give it a thumbs up, comment, share, subscribe, and you can even donate. And we want to thank all the people that donated some cash for the last episode. And you can, you know, find us on
You can find us on iTunes. We're starting to pop up in other places like last.fm. or .fm, and then we're not on the Google Play yet, but we'll be there soon.
Yeah, and if you want to donate, you can go to our website, our production company website, which is wordsoverchair.com. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, and I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye, I am a robot.
And we're out.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
while doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.